Okay, thank you for coming. Today's daf is daf Kuf Samach Hei. We will begin again on the bottom of Kuf Samach Daled Amud Beis. Amar Rav Amram Amar Rav. Rav Amram said in the name of Rav. Shalosh Averos and Adam Nitzol Mehen B'chol Yom. There are three sins that every person has them, unfortunately, every day. He doesn't get saved from them every day. The first is Hirur Avera, thinking thoughts of sin between man and woman. The second is Iyun Tefillah, thinking that if he prayed with a lot of passion, he's going to be guaranteed to get his request when there is no such guarantee. And number three, Lashon Hara, speaking ill, speaking negatively about others. Lashon Hara Salka Daitach, negative speech, can you think that? Are people going to have so much negative speech? Ella, rather, Avak Lashon Hara. What we mean is, you know, things that lead to Lashon Hara, the dust of Lashon Hara, like telling people information about somebody else that's not necessary, and inevitably it leads to saying something negative about him. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, a similar halacha, Rov Begezel. Most people, unfortunately, they cheat a little bit on their business partnerships. They say to themselves, well, you know, I deserve a little bit more of the profits than what the agreement calls for. So most people, you have to suspect, are not 100% honest in money. Miut ba'arayos, a minority of people, you have to suspect, unfortunately, will commit the sin of illicit marital relations, issues of marital relations that are prohibited, v'hakol, and unfortunately everyone, the lashon hara, with the sin of negative speech. Lashon hara, sakadaitach. Right. Is everybody speaking lashon hara? No, elavak lashon hara. Again, it means what we just said. Everybody, unfortunately, speaks about others, and the speech sort of meanders into areas that could lead to negativity being said about them.
What was the
intifila one? Intifila means that a person who prays with a lot of intent, with kavana, thinks, okay, now I have to get what I prayed for, because I had such kavana, and there's no such guarantee. It's a sin to assume. It's a sin to assume about God that I'm going to get something because I had a good prayer. Maybe I will, maybe I won't, but God has his own decisions many times.
It's not a sin to ask God.
It's not a sin to ask God. It's a sin to assume and to expect
you know,
that I have to get. How could I not be getting? I had such a good prayer. There's no guarantee.
The other interpretation for that was that when we pray, we don't pray with full kavanah.
That's right. That's the opposite. That's right. That's right. So, unfortunately, you and Tefillah could mean that we don't pray with Kavanah. So now the Mishnah taught that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had a statement that was hard to understand. He said, we had a whole discussion, what happens if you, you know, the request was for a get makushar, but instead a person made a get pashut. You know, instead of having witnesses signed on the outside, they had them signed on the inside. Instead of three witnesses, he had two witnesses. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel throughout this line, Akol Kamina Gamadina, everything follows the custom of the place. Now the question is, everybody agrees to that. Of course we follow the custom of the place. The Gemara asks, Atana Kama Lesle Mina Gamadina, does the first opinion not believe that we follow the custom of the place? So the Gemara explains that really with this line of Rav Shimon Gamliel, when he said in the Mishnah, everything follows the custom of the place, it's actually a leniency in regards to the laws of appointing a representative, appointing a shaliach. So Amar Rav Ashi explained, Ba'asud inahigi pashut, if there's a place where the custom is that all the documents are the unfurled, flat, simple get. V'amar le'avid li pashut, and a man goes to a shaliach and he says, make for me a get pashut and give it to my wife. V'azal avid le'makushar, and the man went, the shaliach went, and instead of making a get pashut, he made a tied up, folded get. So k'peidah, so clearly everybody here makes a pashut. This man asked for a pashut. The shaliach didn't make a pashut. He made the flat document, the unfurled document, and the makushar is the tied up, folded over document. So everybody in this place makes a simple document when divorcing the wife. That's what was asked for. So, you know, of course, there was an insistence on the norm. A person who asked for that which is done in the normal way is saying, it has to be done the normal way. So therefore, if it wasn't done the normal way, it's not kosher. However, and similarly, Nihigimukushar, if this is the place where everybody makes their documents folded and sewed up, Vamale Avili Mukushar, and the husband told his representative, make for me a folded document. And the representative went and made, instead of a folded document, he made a flat, unfurled document. So then, of course, Kpeda, there was an insistence, and there was exacting, and the exacting wasn't listened to. So keep pligi, where is there an argument? A place where both things are accepted. Sometimes people make unfurled documents. Sometimes people make folded documents. And the husband said, make for me the document in the easiest way. Make it unfurled, unrolled, with the witnesses signed on the bottom, and only two witnesses, and go deliver it to my wife. And the witness went and he did it the hard way. He went and he folded over and he had witnesses on the back. He had three witnesses instead of two. So Mar Savar, the Tanakhama said, listen, Kpeda, when a person asks for something to be done a certain way, if it wasn't done his way, then it's no good because he's insistent. However, Mar Savar, what Rav Shimon Gamliel is teaching is no. Maru Makamulo. The husband said, make for me a get pashut, a simple get. That's because that's the easier way. He's saying, I'll be willing to accept a get pashut. But if the shaliach, if the representative chooses to do it in the harder way, then that works. That works, that's fine. He's not saying you can't do it in the harder way. He's saying, I'm willing to accept the easier way. He went and he chose to do the harder way. So that's what Shimon Gamliel is saying. I call Kabinah Gamadina, as long as it's within the custom of the place, even though it's not the instructions that he was told to do, it's still an acceptable document. So Amar Abaye said, this is not Rav Shimon Gamliel only. There are two other Tanaim also, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Lazar, Kulus Virlu, they all hold in regards to appointing a representative, that sometimes, Mara Makamulo, that the words of the appointment are just saying, okay, here's a way to do it, which is easy. And if you choose to do a much harder way, that's also fine. Rav Shimon Gamliel Hadamar, Rav Shimon Gamliel, what we've explained, that if there is in the place both people who make get pashut, they make the flat document, and there are people who make get makushar, the folded document, if the husband said, make for me the flat document, and the representative went and made the folded document, it's still okay, because he was just telling him, this is an easy way to do it. Do it, and all I'm asking for is the easy thing. If you do for me the harder, all right, even better. Similarly, we have an argument in regards to marriage. Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah, a woman tells a representative, go to Yaakov. Yaakov is going to marry me. He's going to give me a silver coin. So you get the silver coin from Yaakov, bring it back to me, and then I'll be married to Yaakov. So the representative goes to Yaakov, and he gets from Yaakov a gold coin. So one opinion would say, well, he didn't get what she had asked for. So the marriage never took effect. It's not what she wanted. However, Rabbi Shimon says, Hita l'shevach, if the husband has, fooled her and made it even better for her, then she is married. Because, she's saying, I'll be satisfied with a silver coin. And he said, originally he's going to give her a silver coin, but now he's surprising her with an even better coin. So, of course, it works.
Would it work the other way around, Rabbi?
No, then it would have worked.
No, okay.
Because if she said, get a silver coin, and he comes back with something in copper, she never agreed for that. That's insulting.
But doesn't she have the right to say it's okay?
No, that's not what she had appointed him for. She had appointed him for to get a silver coin.
Even like with a folding or a coin, if she comes back and says, it's all right, it's good enough.
But that's too late, because he had to have been appointed at the time that he gets the marriage, he has to be representing her. The emissary is not representing to get less than what she specified. She didn't say, go get married for me. She said, get married for me with a silver coin. That's what husband has agreed to. And example number three of this concept, that we say that the words are not to be taken literally, it's just, an easy way to do it. Rebbe Lazar in regards to Gittin. It's not as in the Mishnah. Ha'isha shamar iskabili gittimi makom ploni. A woman who tells an emissary, accept on my behalf a get for me in, let's say, New York. the kiblu la mimakom acher, and they accept the get for her in Philadelphia. Pasul, it's no good. However, Belezer machshir, Rebbe Elazar says it is okay. Mar Savar Kpeda, the first opinion thought that if she said a certain place, it had to be that place. Mar Savar, the other one said, Mar Makamulo, you know, she gave what she thought was an easy job to the emissary, and the emissary chose to do a harder job. So fine, that's still okay. All right, going back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah talked about, again, these two types of documents. There's the document that's folded, that's called Get Mekushar. And then there was the standard document that we've been learning about all along in our journeys, and that's a normal flat document we call Get Pashut, a simple document. You know, the writing is on the parchment on the bottom, the witnesses sign. So then the Mishnah says the difference between these two documents is the folded document needs three witnesses. A simple, normal document needs
two
witnesses. However, the Mishnah ended off by saying that if the simple document had one witness, or the folded document had two witnesses, the document is no good. So the Gemara now says, one second, Bishwam Mekushash Kasaboshne Eidim Pasul Itztrich. I understand the line that a folded document with two witnesses is no good. I understand the lesson and why we have to tell me that. Salkadat Chamin, I would have thought to say, Hol Baal Makasher, since normally two witnesses is kosher, Achanami Kasher, so here too, two witnesses will be kosher. Kamashmalan, that's why we need it to be taught. To pasul, if it's a folded document, with two witnesses, it's no good. Ella, but the first point, pashat, a simple document, that only has a single witness, that it's no good. Pshita, it's obvious it's no good. A single witness is never good, so I need to have a Mishnah to tell me that a simple document with one witness is no good? Amar Abaye, Abaye said like this. It's teaching me the following. Lo nitzrucha, it's not needed for anything other than this. That even if you have one witness on the document, and there's another witness who's off the document, who's saying, I saw this loan on that and that date, it's not considered a loan from a document. So remember, a loan that's in a document is a very powerful loan, and if the borrower doesn't have cash to pay back a loan that's in a document, the lender can go to people who bought land from the borrower ever since he borrowed till now, and the lender can seize that land from buyers. He can take from lekuchot, he can take from people who bought. However, an oral loan, a loan that's not in a document, we say people don't know about it, people are not going to hear about it, we have to protect the buyers who didn't know that there were loans going on here when they did their title search, and therefore the lender cannot take from buyers. What happens if you have one person signed on the document and you have a second witness who didn't sign, but he says, I was there and I saw it at that time, I saw the loan. Is that considered a loan in a document so that the buyers lose the land? Or is that considered an oral loan? So says Yes Sabaya, that's the point of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that when you have a simple document with one witness on it, it's no good. What it means is it's no good as a loan in a document. In other words, even when you have a one witness on paper and another witness standing and speaking out loud, that doesn't work to be considered a loan in a document for the buyers to lose the land. Yes, please.
Would we apply this to every aspect of every document that's drawn, whether it be a loan, whether it be a will, whether it be a gift, anything.
Yeah. I mean, a witness orally, you know, may be just as good for a gift. But at least for a loan, we're saying it's not good enough because...
For a purchase,
it may be good enough. But for a loan, it's not because the loan, a loan in a document, is something that people talk about. So when a document
the
wasn't...
Yeah,
but maybe it is okay if you have you do have two witnesses to the event. One is signed in the document and one's off, but maybe not. We'll see. Amema's going to disagree here.
But what's the difference between having a shtar with one witness or zero witness? Is that the same thing?
According to Abaye, it sounds like it's the same, but we'll see. Amema disagrees. Amemar achsher be'ed echad b'chsav e'ed echad al peh. Amemar felt that if you have one witness who signed the document, and a second witness who's orally telling you, I saw it on this and this date, it's still fine. It's still considered a loan in a document, and the lender can take from the buyers. Amale Rav Ashi la Meimar. So Rav Ashi said to Ameimar, but what are you going to do with Abaye? In other words, Abaye learned his law from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that a simple document with one witness is meaningless, of course. So what does it mean? It must mean it's meaningless for one witness, even with another witness outside of the document. Amarle lo shmieli. He said, I never heard Abaye. In other words, klomer lo sfirli. I don't agree with Abaye. Elakasha masnisim. Okay, but what are you going to do with the Mishnah? The Mishnah said that a simple document with a single witness is no good. Isn't that obvious? So he'll tell you the Mishnah means something else. Masnisin, akamashmalan. The Mishnah is teaching us the following. The Mishnah said two things. It said a simple document with one witness, and it said a folded document with two witnesses are no good. So it's teaching us the following. The Shnayim b'mekushar, that when you have two witnesses on a folded document, it's like a single witness on a flat document. And therefore, just like a single witness on a flat document is completely no good, right? In terms of marriage or divorce, certainly she's not divorced if the get had only one witness on it. So the same thing is true. So too, when you have a folded document and two witnesses on it, the sages legislated that it should be considered like a biblically disqualified document. Afachanami here too. Pesula de Oraisa, it's biblically disqualified. And if a husband gave his wife a folded document with two witnesses on it, she's not divorced at all. Teda, what is the proof to this concept? That is single what a Amemar says. What's the proof that a single witness on a document and another witness off of the document do add together to be considered a loan in a document? The proof is from the following story. Earlier in the Masechta, we learned about chicks that fly off of the bird nest, doves that fly off of a dovecote. So the Mishnah said that if the bird is 50 amos away from the dovecote, we assume that this bird came from that dovecote. So the Gemara said that Rabbi Yirmiyah had a question. What happens if the bird is standing 1 foot within 50 amos and 1 foot outside of 50 amos? They were so upset they threw Rabbi Yirmiyah out of the yeshiva for that question. They said, that's
a legit question.
They didn't like it. So now we're going to see the story that got Rabbi Yirmiyah back into the yeshiva. So we're going to see that there's an argument in terms of testimony. Does testimony have to be about a particular event, or does testimony have to be about a particular result? Let's say one witness comes and says, Zev owes $100 to Gabriel because I saw Zev borrow from Gabriel on Monday. Another witness comes and says, Zev owes $100 to Gabriel because Zev, drove his car into Gabriel's car. It caused $100 worth of damage. Is that considered two witnesses because they both end up with the same result of Zev paying $100? Well, that's not two witnesses. Each one is talking about a different event and a different cause. So we don't have two witnesses obligating Zev to pay to Gabriel. So that's a dispute. Another dispute is in terms of two witnesses. Do they have to testify on the same day together? Or can one come in one day and one come in the next day? So, all right, let's see now. Teda, so here's a proof, Amemar says, here's a proof that one witness in a document and another witness outside the document is considered a loan in a document. The Shulchan Matam, they had sent a message, Chavraya, the friends, to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah was thrown out of the yeshiva because he had asked the question about the chicken who's 1 foot inside and 1 foot outside. So they sent him a question. Eid echad b'chsav. What about if you have one witness signed on the document? Eid echad, and the second witness is not on the document, but made, but al peh, he's testifying orally that he saw this loan. So Mao Shayit Starfu, does that combine to be considered a loan that was done in a contract? So Gemara explains what the question was. Ali, but the Tanakhama of Yeshua ben Karcha, according to the Tanakhama, the first view, who argued with Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, lo tiboy lachi, really is not a question. Because he holds afilu shnayim b'chsav. He holds even if he had both in a document, or shnayim alper, both orally, lo mitztarfi, they can't combine, even though they're both saying the same result, but they can't combine unless they're saying the same event. So certainly when you have one who's in a document and one who's off of a document, they wouldn't combine. Ella, rather, kiti b'ilach, but my question is, alibu de Yeshua ben Karcha, according to Yeshua ben Karcha, who says that the need of two witnesses is not two witnesses on the same event. It's two witnesses with the same result. So one witness says Zev owes 100 because of a fender bender. The other witness says Zev owes 100 because of a loan. Zev has to pay 100. That's considered two witnesses obligating Zev. That's the view of Rabbi Shimon Karcha. So if that's the case, it's easy to combine things. So now, maybe Shnayim B'Ksav or Shnayim Alpeh Odom Itztarfi. When do they get combined? When they're saying about the same result? If that, at least they're both in the document, or they're both orally. But now our question is, what about if one is in a document and one is oral? Aval Echad, Eid Echad B'Ksav, but if there's one who's written, Ve'Echad Ba'alpeh, and one is not in the document, one is just saying it orally, maybe lo mitztarfin, maybe they don't combine. Odimah, maybe lo shna, there too, they combine. So shalach luhu, this is the question asked of Rabbi Yirmiyah. In other words, Ameimar says, Abaya, you say one witness in a document and one witness off of a document is not considered two witnesses. I say one witness in a document and one witness off is considered two witnesses. This was the question that the students asked Rabbi Yirmiyah. And you know what Rabbi Yirmiyah answered? Shalach lu Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah said back to them, Ani eini kedai. Listen, I'm not worthy to give you the answer. I'm not the one to decide. Sheshlachtem li, that you're sending me this question. But, elakach das talmidchem. But this is what I think. In other words, this is the knowledge, this is the feeling or the way I tilt. Your student thinks the following. Nota, this is the way I'm thinking. That Yitztarfu, that they do combine. So what do you see? Ameimar says, this is a proof. This is a proof that here, this very question was asked of Rabbi Yirmiyah. And Rabbi Yirmiyah says, they combine. So how could you be arguing with me, Abaye? Amar leis, Rabbi Ashi said, that's the wrong version. That wasn't the discussion. Anan hachi masninan la. We have the following version of this story. The friends had sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah with the following question. Shnayim sheheidu, if two testify, and they both said the same thing. But echad bebezdin zed, one testified in one court, v'echad bebezdin zed, one testified in a different court. So now, what's the halacha? Sheyavo bezdin etzel bezdin v'yitztarfu. Can judges join and say, well, I heard one guy. The other judges say, I heard the other guy, and now they can obligate. In other words, Ali, but the Tanakhama, Rabbi Nassim, Lutti, by Allah, according to the Tanakhama, who argues with Rabbi Nassim, it's not a question, because he holds, Afilu b'chad b'ezdina, nami lo mitztarfi, even in the same court, if one comes one day and one comes the next day, they don't combine. So certainly two courts won't combine. Ela kiti by Allah, Ali, but Rabbi Nassim. Our question is according to the view of Rabbi Nassim. Bechad beidina huda mitztarfi. Rabbi Nassim holds that if you have two witnesses, one comes in on Sunday, and the next one comes in on Monday, they both are saying the same event, then it does combine. So maybe that's only true in the same court. I will betray beidina, but if they came to two different courts, lo mitztarfi, then they don't combine. Oh, Dilmore, maybe even in two different courts, they combine. Lo shna, there's no difference. And that to that question, Shalach Lehu, Rabbi Yirmiyah responded, Ani Eini Kedai. I'm not the right one to answer this. I don't know. I'm not worthy to be your posek. Shatim Shalachtim, that you're sending this question to me. But, you know what? I do think I have an answer. Elakach Das Talmidchem Nota. This is the way I think it should go. This is the way your student thinks is the way to go. That Yitztarfu, that they should combine. So it wasn't about the question of one person in a document and one person out of a document. Is that a different question? Can courts combine halves of testimony?
Rabbi, do the Jewish court nowadays recognize the high-tech technology of videos and things in today's court?
I don't think so. I don't think so, because I think that all these technologies, first of all, they can be tampered with, but also it's not our system, right? It would be enough for the court to sort of have a feeling, right? Say, listen, I can't believe this guy is innocent when I saw this video. That's true, but it's still not witnesses. It's still not certainty. You know, sometimes the court has things like shuda d'daina. The court has its own discretion. So for things like that, it would be fine for circumstantial evidence. But to really be sure, you couldn't be sure. I don't think you could take out money based on a video. You need to have witnesses, I think.
Witnesses watching the video of the account.
I don't think that's good enough. They have to see the event. They have to see the event. I'm not sure. Video.
The concern with this mission is if Baruch or I ask a wrong question, we could be thrown out.
Well, no, but then you get your way back in, as we'll see. You got back in. So again, we've had two possibilities what the question to Rabbi Yirmiyah was. Was the question to Rabbi Yirmiyah about a loan which has one witness in a document and one witness out of the document? And he said, listen, I'm not really the right one to answer, but I think it does work. Or was the question to Rabbi Yirmiyah about witnesses? One of the two witnesses came to one court, one of the two witnesses went to another court. Does it combine? And again, he said, I'm not sure I'm the right person, but I do think it does combine. Now, a third possibility. Mar Bar Chia said, Achi Shalchle. They asked him a different question, a third question. Shnayim Sheidu Bevezdin Zeh. There were two witnesses who did testify in this court. But what happened was, the court broke up. Of the three judges, two left. So now you only have one judge. So then they went and they testified in a second court. And again, two of those three judges left. And then they testified in a third court. And again, two of the three judges left. So now what's the halacha? Can we take the one judge left out of each of these three courts and have the three judges combine and say, okay, they could now issue the ruling based on what they heard as a court? In other words, Rabbi Nasan Lotzi Bayalach. Rabbi Nasan, who says that the witnesses, one can come in on Monday, the second can come in on Tuesday, and they would combine. So if witnesses can combine, certainly judges will combine. But the question is, according to the first view, who argued with Rabbi Nasan, maybe Adam Hudalom Mitzdarfin, he doesn't combine witnesses, but he would combine judges. Odomer, maybe Loshon, there's no difference. And just like witnesses can't combine, judges cannot combine. So again, according to this version, Shalach Luhu, Rabbi Yirmiyah said back, Ani Eini Kedai, Shatim Shlachtim Li, I'm not worthy that you're asking me to resolve this question, but I will resolve it for you. Lakach Das Tamidchem Nota, this is the way your student thinks. Yitzdarfu, judges can combine. And version number four, Ravina Amar Achi Shalchle, Ravina said, this is what the question that they asked Rabbi Yirmiyah.
What does judges can combine mean?
That even though this judge and the next judge, they didn't hear it together, right? He heard it in a different court, this one heard it in another court, this one heard it in another court, they can get together and issue the ruling based on what they heard.
But could they do the same thing with the witnesses? Bring them, you know, like the witness in court in A location, the other one did in B location, with a different judge?
That was a question. We saw that was one of the questions.
So can bring A instead of bringing the judges together, bring their witnesses?
So that was also an argument. Whether one witness comes to one court, one goes to another. Or when one comes one day, one comes the next day. We saw these were all questions.
These are hard questions.
Ravina had a fourth possibility. Alchi Shalchulei, this is the question that they asked Rabbi Yirmiyah. Three people sit, three judges sit to validate the signatures on a document. And they heard witnesses that, yes, it was good signatures. And then, one of the judges died. So the question is, do they have to write the following? But most of Tlas Avina. We sat, three of us, to hear this case. But the reason why only two of us are signing is Chadle Sohi. One of them died. One of us died. Although they don't need to write that. They just write the normal document. They say three of us sat, and it's fine. Because Shalach Lehus, Rabbi Yirmiyah said back, Ani Eini Kedai, I'm not the right one to answer this question. Shatam Shlachtam, that you asked me, I'm not worthy. But this is what I think. I'm your student. They do have to write that added word that one of us is gone. The Michta, most of Tlas Avina, there were three of us who sat to hear the case. The Chadle Soi, one of us died, and that's why only two of us are signing. So it doesn't look like there's something, you know, some monkey business going on. Valda, whatever the question was, based on this response of Rabbi Yirmiyah, Ilu Rabbi Yirmiyah Bevei Midrasha. They brought Rabbi Yirmiyah back into the base Medrash. Okay. Next Mishnah, talking about a loan document. We have a general rule, Hamotzi mechaveiro olav haraya. The one who's trying to take money out of his friend's hands has to prove that he's right, that he's entitled to that money. Now, our Mishnah is going to talk about all sorts of cases where the loan document has contradictions in it. So which phrase do we think is real and which is not? So, Kosovo, let's say it says in the loan document, Zuzin Meya. He borrowed 100 Zuz. Now, 100 zuz is 25 slime. Deinon slime estrin, which is 20 slime. So now, what do you collect? You collect 100 zuz, and you collect 80 zuz, which is 20 slime. So in lelo estrin, no, you have to take the lower amount, 20. Zuzin mea deinon plus in slime. It says in the document he borrowed 100 zuz, which is 30 slime, which is 120 zuz. In lelo mana, he's only entitled to 100 zuz. Kesev zuzi deinon. It just said, money, zuzin of money, which is, it didn't say how much, v'nimchak, and then it was erased. So, ein pachos mishnayim, that means just two. Kesef slayim de'inun, right, it said, money in the slayim denominations that are, but then it didn't say how much, v'nimchak, ein pachos mishnayim, okay, it means at least two slayim. Darkonos de'inun v'nimchak, it says darkonos, which are, didn't say how many. Again, in Pachos Mishnayim, not less than two. Kasav bo milamala mana. At the top of the document, it said that he borrowed 100. Umilamata, but at the bottom of the document, when they repeat everything, it says Masayim, he borrowed 200. Milamala Masayim, on the top, it says that he borrowed 200. Umilamata, but on the bottom where it's repeated, it said it was mana. At the bottom where it says, okay, this is what he has to pay, it's only 100. We said at the bottom, that's the main one. And the top one was the mistake. Imkain, if so, lama kosvin aselin. If we're going to follow the bottom, why did we even write the top one? Shim timchakos achas min atachton. The idea is that if one letter gets erased from the bottom and we're not sure what it says on the bottom, yomod mi elyon. Then we can see from what it said on the top. But normally, the most important thing is what it says at the bottom of the document.
Because the witness's signature.
Pretty, right. If they're close to it. That's right. The witnesses are close to it. Rabbi Hanani ben Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Zakas Yisrael.